It's sort of a combination of everything we've been talking about today, right? The sermon is called Working with God. Okay? Working with God. So working with God isn't always easy or smooth. He will take you out of your comfort zone in different seasons to build your character and deepen your trust in Him. But if you follow the Lord and step into the mission He gives you, it becomes a true adventure. True Christianity is always an adventure. It's never stale. It's always moving. So Paul the Apostle was sent on such an adventure. I'm going to get there in a moment. As a prisoner on a difficult voyage to Italy under a centurion named Julius, despite challenging winds and slow progress, they continued sailing. Changing ships along the way, Paul warned that the journey would end in disaster. But his advice was ignored, and soon after, a violent storm arose. And the ship was driven off course, forcing the crew to struggle to keep it afloat by lightening the load. And so I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Acts, and we're going to pick up this story. It's a few chapters, book of Acts 27, 19. And then we're going to pull it out and just explain it more to help you all. So it's the book of Acts 27, 19. And of course, this is Paul on his mission, working for God. And so it says, on the third day, as we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands, now when there is neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood on the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And I urge you now to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as He has said, and it was told to me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Verse 27. So he's going into a few more details. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. This is the depth. And they'd gone a little further and took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, because they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, they cannot be saved. Then the soldiers went out, cut the ropes and the skiff, and it fell off. And as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge to take nourishment, for this is for your survival. Since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. And we have said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all, we were 276 75 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but then observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And so they let the anchors down and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosing the rudder ropes, they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow struck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the sudden plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to serve Paul, kept them for their purpose and commanded that those who would swim should jump overboard first and get to the land, and the rest, some on board and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to the land. You know, sometimes when we are working with God, right, the text we read gives lots of details, right? God wants us all to know that He knows the details of your life. Yeah, the details that are personal to you, which you've just read about, and we're reading through it. We're thinking, why do we need to know all this? Because God is a God of detail, right? The situation, everyone here, that you're going through, the situation that you're facing, right? God knows the details. He knows what the conditions. He knows what's going on, right? You might think He doesn't, but this scripture is for you. It's to encourage everyone here, right? Wherever you are in your life today, right? Whatever situation you're going through, right? Good or bad, you know, maybe you're on a sinking ship, right? Maybe your situation is drastic, right? Maybe you feel like, you know, Lord, where are you in all of this? And God wants us to understand the scripture, put ourselves into it. All of you here need to put yourself into some of that scripture and relate it to your life today. Right? And if you can do that for a moment, then the scripture is going to make more sense to you. If we just read it as we've read it, it doesn't mean that much, right? But when we read, right, that God was on a mission, Paul was on a mission for God, and the sermon today is about working for God. Everyone here is working for God, right, wants to work for God, is working for God. And in that process, we're going to have a storm in our life, right? Things are not always going to work out. Things are going to go wrong. Maybe the vehicle at the moment you thought was going to take you somewhere is going to crash. It's going to be destroyed. And maybe you'll be at sea. Maybe you'll be on your own, as this summary gives us. They're floating in the water. All right, that's not a good place to be, is it, church? You know, it's not a good place to be. But the reality of when you are working with God and for God, well, it's not going to be smooth sailing. You're going to have these disasters. You're going to have these battles. You're going to have these things go wrong. You're going to have people let you down, right? You're going to have things not work out well. You're going to have things not work out right. You're going to have the plans that you thought you had, you know, for smooth sailing. It doesn't work out, right? And this is all part of God's plan. And so when we are reading this scripture and we are seeing the details of the scripture, God is saying, listen, I know your life. I know what you're going through. And everyone here personally has got things going on in their life which are probably not that great. Right? You may be in a season of shipwreck, right? You know, maybe something's been bashed on the rocks and being smashed, but maybe it is the vessel you're using that God wants to upgrade you. Right? Maybe He wants to upgrade you, move you from that place where you are, take you out of your comfort zone, smash you up, break you up, beat you up a bit. Right? And that you can turn to God. And so when we're reading this, we need to understand what the Lord is saying to us. So I've got just a few points here, what we can understand. Because when we read the scripture, we read it in context, and then we read it as though, you know, Lord, what can I learn from it? Right? Because we always have to be learning. We have to be growing. You have to be picking up things from the scripture, putting it into your life, having the victory, and then moving on. So I've just listed five things here. Following God, as I said, is an adventure. Storms in life will come and go. Right? The storm you're in now will come, it will go. And God doesn't always remove them, right? But instead, he walks with you through the storm, right? It may not be nice, it may not be pleasant, but he walks with you through the storm. Some storms appear in different guises, right? So you might not be on a ship sinking, right? You might not be in a ship. It may be health issues, financial issues, housing issues, family issues. Whatever the storm you are going through right now, God is speaking to you, if you're listening. However, we have to stay focused and don't get distracted by the storm, right? That's what most people do. They get a storm, all hell breaks loose, things don't work out, and the storm is there to drag you away, right? Isn't it beautiful? You're there with the Lord, and it's just you and Jesus. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. And then the storm comes. Oh, no, look at that. And another storm comes. Hallelujah. And then you're distracted, and then you're thinking, well, Lord, what happened to my hallelujah? Isn't it right? And then you're on a storm for a day, or a week, or a month, or a couple of months. Where's the hallelujah? But God is a God of timing. Right? God is working at billions of calculations before a door can be opened for you. You understand? God is a God of timing. We see that in Jesus, right? He had to flee to Egypt, didn't he? God on the earth entered into the timeline of earth. He had to flee to Egypt. Why did he have to do that? King Herod had to go. Time had to pass. A new king arose. It changed. So when we're reading the scriptures and when you are struggling through things, right? The Lord said, listen, it's timing. Just trust me, keep your eyes on me, keep the focus on me. I've got a plan for you, I've got a purpose for you, I've got a destiny for you. And then people lose hope and they want to do like what these people do. They let the skiffs down and they try to run off. And that's why God said, no, keep them on the ship. Keep them on the ship or I'm not going to save these people. Think about it, right? Stay on board. Don't jump off the ship. Stay on board. What God has told you, everyone here, what God has told you to do, the first thing he's told you to do, keep doing it. Don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged, right? Because the word of God is always true. It's always working. So number two, when you are walking in God's purpose, it doesn't just affect you. Very important, right? Others around you are often being saved and blessed. Right, we see that from Paul. When I used to go on the airplane, I said, Lord, you know, I'm working for you, so the plane can't crash. That's what I say. Go on holiday, I say, hate flying. Right? I said, Lord, you know, I'm on this plane now, there's 200 people. And I remember the scripture, look, I'm on this plane, it's not going to crash because I've got work to do for God. Right? And what I'm trying to say, if you are working for God, he'll protect you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's if you are really, really working for God, if your life is really, 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 I'm talking about really submitted to God, right? If you really, really, really want to follow him, it doesn't matter. You will finish the race he has for you. Nothing can stop it on this world. Not Satan, not friends, not family, not your health, no heart attacks, no cancers, right? If you have a work for God, you're going to keep going and you'll get up. You will finish the race. God is telling you today, finish what I gave you to do. Don't worry about anything else. Other people, don't hang around people who said, oh, you know, maybe God didn't say that to you. Remove those people from you. Let every man be a liar and God be true, right? You have to die trusting God. Just die trusting. It's easy. Just die trusting the Lord. Don't have this opinion and that opinion discussion. Lord, if you said that, I'm going to do it, and that's it. And we need to have this focus. Because your life will see other people saved. Right? Your work for God won't be a private work. It will be the gospel. It will be saving people. It will be helping young people. It will be whatever God has got you to do in you. Right? The work of God, which is supernatural. Right? It's not natural. It's supernatural work. God will do it. And you will see these things happening. You will see people saved and delivered. Like the man yesterday on outreach, his name was Stuart, and we prayed for him. Ashley mentioned to him, I forgot who he was. We prayed for him last year. We prayed for him on the outreach. We said to him, listen, you know, our church was too far to come. So go to the other church, Wellspring Church. They could go to Wellspring. He went there, got baptized, got saved, got delivered, and he came to testify. Isn't that awesome? And church, listen, all of you are involved in his life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you are part of the church, and you're supporting the church, and the mandate, and you come when you can, you're praying, you are part of the work of the church. So all of you in this church, that gets accredited to your accounts. Not to me as a pastor, but to the church. The church, the work of the church. You see how important it is? We have people who have given different giftings to go and preach and pray and so on and so forth. But that person, right, before the living God, he goes, oh yeah, that's the work you guys did together as a church. The work I gave you to do. You see, so it's not me. It's all of us. When we're carrying the cross and we're praying and we're preaching, what is it? We want you to go to heaven. As I was saying yesterday, listen, you guys think I'm mad, right? I want you to go to heaven. I want you to have a good life. I was preaching on the streets, you know, the parents probably weren't happy with me. I was saying, children, go home and ask your mom and dad about Jesus. I said to the children, listen, and fathers and mothers, listen, if you love your children, tell them about Jesus. Read the Bible. Show them David and Goliath. Read to them the stories of the Bible. That's what I was saying on the streets yesterday, because it just, the Spirit of God was moving in that way. Why don't rob your children of the opportunity to have the Word of God in their lives. So well done to the parents bringing their children to church. It's not easy. Different things going on, different events going on. But when you bring your children into a church and they're in the Spirit and they're around God and God's people, you're blessing them more than anything else, right? It's the blessing of God, because sometimes your time will run out with them, right? You know, children, if you're fathers and mothers, you know you've got your children to what age? 13, 14, maybe, if you're lucky. They've gone, aren't they? So what you instill in them, what you impart in them when you love your kids is the Spirit of God, is the Word of God, is the miracles and the signs and the wonders. That gets into them, whether they know it or not. And they will grow up with the presence of God. Isn't that awesome? The protection of God, the blessing of God. Isn't that awesome? So why are people not doing that for their children? So anyway, I was preaching out on the streets, and I was just saying, you know, Lord, help some of these people. So getting back to my point, right, when you're working for God, people are going to get saved, right? Church is about saving. Your ministry for the Lord, wherever it may be, is going to end in people saving. And on this ship, we see 276 people will save. Your commitment to God will impact lives, church, right? Your commitment to God will impact lives. Will impact life. Will transform. Will change life. Because the power of God, right, in a man or woman, under the power, you see that it goes round and it goes round and it goes round. God is wanting you to know that you're working for Him, right? We're talking about working for God. So that's number two. Number three, God also confirms His purposes in different ways, right? We've heard today about dreams and signs and visions to keep you encouraged. Paul was sent an angel. Angels are still present. They're still walking around. They still appear to you if God wills it by His will. So it's important to know that we're not on your own. You're not on your own doing a work on your own. You are involved in the work of God. Right? You are involved in the kingdom of God. Okay? You've got to remember that you are part of a kingdom. God is King. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So when you bow the knee and said, Lord, can you use my life, please, to help some people, Lord Jesus? I want to have a testimony before you. I don't want my life to be all about me and coming to church and now and then. I want to make a commitment. I want to see life change. I want to see people transform. Because this is the work of the church, is to bring life and life in abundance to people. People need life outside there. They need encouragement. They need to be told there's more to this world than just what they see. The supernatural, as was mentioned today. So God will confirm with you. He'll speak to you, right? And your job is to be obedient. You know how many people over the years that God has spoken to and said, oh yeah, God spoke to me a month, a year later, not doing anything what God's told them to do. Nothing. It was a very short season because Satan went to work plucking it out of them, didn't he? Oh, you know, that wasn't really the Lord. And if you lie in bed today, Let's watch that movie 3 times again. He'll do anything to distract you and take you off your mission. He'll do that. Honestly, I promise you, if God could open your eyes, you could see the spiritual realm, you would be shocked at what you would see. You think it's just you on your own. It's not. The enemy does not want you to break through, doesn't want you to continue, doesn't want you to go, doesn't want you to live holy. He wants the world to be perverse, doesn't want holiness, doesn't want these things. So we are fighting a real enemy, church. You are, you just don't know it yet. I just probably know your enemy better than you, a bit more better than you. So God will confirm. Number 4, we are encouraged to take communion, right? So regularly, at home, break bread, take communion. Right? Take communion. Honor God. In the middle of the storm, Paul took bread, gave thanks to God, and ate in front of everyone. Right? This reflects the heart of communion. Acknowledging God, giving thanks, and finding peace, even in trouble. You know, this is very difficult, but it's very easy to do, to have peace. When you're in a storm, right, you can't have the storm inside you. Right? God's not listening to you. The storm is on, always on the outside of you. Inside of you is complete peace. Right? If you've got the storm outside of you and the storm in you, right, it doesn't work. How can you hear God in that storm? How can you hear God when he tells us, hang on, I'm with you? How can we hear the Lord when he says, you have the greater one living in you? Do you see? So you can't have the storm inside you. The storm is always going to be outside you. Health, finances, resources, right? Your body may fail you. When my heart failed me in the hospital, I was there on the bed and I was praising Jesus. Singing. God's presence, tangible presence was around me. Church, lying on the bed. They're prodding nails in me. Pins in me. Right, no one's there. My wife's not there. COVID was on. Kids couldn't come to see me. No one could see me because of COVID. And it didn't make a difference to me. Why? Because God's presence, tangible presence of God was there with me. What do I need more than that? I love my wife, my kids, yes. Be nice to see them, yes, but something more. Do you understand, church? God's presence. God's Spirit with you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. People think about it, then they go, that's really awesome, and then it's fleeting. It doesn't stay with them. I'm telling you, God's presence has to be with you every day. When you wake up in the morning, when you go to sleep, when you forget and you're at work and you're busy doing stuff, stop. Lord, thank you, you are with me. Just stop. Right, it's easy to worship God with, you know, we were today, we were singing and rejoicing, we were worshiping God. Right? I love to do that. I also love to do this still. Right? You need to worship in both ways. Total stillness, God's presence in you tells you, you know, someone's with me better than myself. Then it changes everything. Presence of God, very, very important. Communion helps to bring God's presence in. Because it takes you back to the cross. It takes you back to the suffering. It takes you back to the journey. And it strengthens you. So God has given you so many tools, right? As a church, as individuals, if you want them. If you want them. You've got to write it down. You've got to make it a habit for 20 days. And then it'll stay with you for forever. I've got how many? I've got 10. I've got 20 habits every day I do for the last 12 years. 20 things I do every day. Wake up in the morning, routine, boop, 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 boop. Yes, Lord, this prayer, that prayer. Thank you, Lord, pray. And I've got a routine. Because God told me, routine, structure. We need structure. God is the God of order, not disorder. We need structure, isn't it? Men need structure. Women need structure. Okay, you need to get every morning and you need to get into the structure. Because why? You are part of a kingdom. We're not part of the world. We don't lie in bed all day. Not all the time. Some days. You don't do that. Why? Because you're attached to a kingdom that's moving, that wants you to glorify God. So we've got to look at the Bible and look at all the dynamics God is telling us, right? Number five, working with God takes full commitment. This is very serious, right? Working with God takes full commitment. If you're hot, or you're lukewarm, or you're cold, you ought to be hot. Lukewarm, what does Jesus do to you? It's not very nice, is it? I thought Jesus loves us. Why are you spitting us out for? Why is Jesus spitting us out if he loves us? Commitment. Commitment, very important. If you want to serve the Lord, church, listen, I'm doing this for 12 years. Right? As you mature, you commit more. You'll get stronger. When you realize everything is moving around you because you're committed to God, God can build something in your life. Wouldn't you love to have a business with the Lord? Wouldn't you love to have a ministry, honestly? Right? Wouldn't you love to have a ministry where God is working through you, helping people? Right? Restoring, helping, healing, delivering, whatever it may be, right? When I went into the prisons, I had the privilege, right, to inspire the men in the prison. I had 11 minutes. 11 minutes and 25 seconds. Because everything is timed. So I know about timing, right? In the prison, you have this certain amount of time and you can inspire, you can encourage, right? You can give hope to people. Everyone here can do what I'm doing. If you want it. If you want it. Right? Because it's about other people. As Jana was saying, serving people. Right? Because they have the world doesn't have that really. It has transactional, doesn't it? You give me money, I do this. They have transactional love. You do this and I do this. But God is not transactional. Right? He is free. He is free love. Pure, holy love that keeps and keeps and keeps and keeps and keeps going. When you have the Lord in you, you just keep going. You keep going. Your stamina gets better. Your spiritual stamina gets much longer. You can do things much better. So God is wanting us to be committed. It cannot be half-hearted. It requires intentional endurance and faithfulness. Those difficult words, aren't they, church? Intentional endurance and faithfulness to the end. That's why this morning I said, if anyone wants to come and pray, ask the Lord, it's going to cost you. Sun's shining today, it's nice, yeah? It's nice. We go to autumn, winter's cold. You might want to get out of bed. You have to think, you know, can I do this for 10 years? And can I commit to the Lord? Yeah, when we started the outreach in Watford, this year would be the 10th year, I went on my knee and said, Lord, I will serve you every 2 hours, every 2 weeks. That's what I said. 10, 12 years ago, when I was walking through St. Mary's. I'm still doing it today. Commitment. If you want to work for the Lord, don't be frivolous. Oh yes, I'm going to try, Lord. It's not try. It's do. It's just do it. Nike? Do it. Just do it. Why? Because that's where you're going to have the most exciting life. Your life's going to be adventurous, going to be exciting. You're going to have storms, you're going to have shipwreck. But you're going to have an exciting life. And God wants you to have an exciting life. But it's not in your flesh. It's not doing the same thing. It's moving. It's saying, Lord, help me today. I want to know what you have in store for me. So I'm going to... I think I'll stop there, shall I? Or shall I continue? I was going to share, you know, I was going to share the first ministry trip the Lord set me on. Do you want me to share that? But, you know, it's a bit spectacular for you all. I don't know. It might be a bit unbelievable. Right. Okay, I'll just share it quickly. Right. So, working for God, right? I'm going to give you an example, right? Me and my wife, right? 1 year before I got born again, went on holiday. I think we're going to the Maldives. We left late, stuck in traffic all the way, missed the flight. Had to pay £1,000, got rerouted to France, and we got on holiday, right? Terrible, really, right? Listen, got born again the following year. Same thing happened. Loads of traffic. I thought, what? I said, Lord, you've got to get me to the airport. We need to exchange our money. You've got to get us there on time. The traffic was still. Remember? Listen, it was like the boat, right? Unless you're there, it doesn't mean as much. We were in the car, I'm driving, I'm thinking, you know, Lord, you've got to get us out of this. This is ridiculous, you know. This is, you know, we have to get us on holiday. All of a sudden, traffic stopped. We drove, what? A couple of hundred yards, took this left turning, ended up in the airport. Ended up in the right airport. I looked around, I said, what happened? Where are we? Parked up, and I thought, are we underground car park? We were in the car park. We went in the car park, in the airport, in the car park. I said, okay, let's get our things, let's go. Checked in, did the money, changed the money, got on the plane. First ministry's trip. Had my Bible with me, didn't know it very well. Took my Bible to the beach. God brought seven people. First was a Rasta. I'm walking on the beach. He goes, Jesus, in weak, you know, in crucified. They're crucified. I said, listen, don't you understand? He rose from the dead. He wasn't dead. He rose from the dead. So the seven people God brought me, and we were sitting on the beach, and, you know, it's just the impossible. Is that possible, church? Is it possible for God to take you and your wife in a car and move you to the airport where you're supposed to be in and get you there on time? Is that the God of the impossible? Yes. Is that still live today for some of you? Yes. It's still relevant. Yes. Are you going to reach for it, church? Yes. This is where it's difficult. Why? Because you are making a commitment that no one else wants to keep. Because it narrows the way. When you all here today, you can all make a choice. I kept it nice and short for you. I'm going to end in a prayer this moment. So some of the things that I've experienced may come upon some of you. I would love for you to have the same supernatural experiences, right? And these are not frivolous. They are to serve God. They are to serve lives. They are to save people from going to hell. They are to save families. They are to bring families together. They are to bring children together. They are to bring husbands together. They are to stand before heaven and hell, right? Before God. And you always win. But you have to make that stance. So it's not easy, right? But if you want to, if you're not doing anything particular for the next 5 years, if you waste your life, right, like I wasted my life for 43 years, I've done this and done that, I realize, well, I've got nothing in particular that I want to do. But, you know, I'll try this God thing with all my heart and my mind and my soul. And I did with all my strength. I tried it all the way. And is that some of you today and you want to see the unseen and you want to see the spiritual realm and you want to see things that will excite you and encourage you and you want to glow with the things you're going to see in the years to come and have a testimony for your children, right? And be the gate that some of your family members will go into heaven and to have the faith to see things that are not yet seen. If you want these things in your life, right, I promise you they're there. They're exactly the same as Paul on the ship getting rocked and smashed and God gave them all the people, right? It's about saving people. And so if that's you in your heart, right, I'm going to just pray, right? For any of you here that want to receive it, that understand the commitment that's involved, that want to put the Lord first place and everything, right? I want to just pray. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, it is the only name acknowledged on heaven, on earth, below the earth, forever and ever. I give you praise, I give you honor, I glorify you, I praise you. Today, this Resurrection Sunday, I thank you for the Word of God that you're teaching us through the Scriptures and you bring it into our life, into our very core, into our very being. I pray for my brothers and sisters here today who don't have a direction or a purpose or a work with God or a walk with God, but really want to. They really want to get a start in working with you. I pray that the blessing of Jesus Christ, that the revelation of Jesus Christ may come upon them even more so. Lord, I pray that you will fill them with your revelation. I just pray, Lord, just a healing prayer over the brothers and sisters right now. for healing, that their hearts be healed, their minds be healed, their body be healed from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, that anything that the enemy has put upon them in them and around them, Lord, we just command that to go to the cross, because Jesus Christ died on that cross. Just everything, just go. Infirmity, whatever it may be that's following you from this day on, we command it to go to the cross, and it has to obey, because it's the word of God. Everything, just go right now. Lord Jesus Christ, every distraction up until this point may be crushed and removed and broken, and may it be destroyed through the blood of Jesus Christ in the new covenant. And now I just put before you my church family here, the brothers and the sisters, Father God. Lord, they need a calling. They need to find out their true value. They need to find their true purpose. I pray that you just help them on this journey. Oh, Father God, they will find you in every place, oh God. I pray again for dreams and visions and direction, and maybe for some of them, according to your will and your purpose, that they may see the divine, they may see angels, they may see the glory of God. I pray that you put a desire in their heart to work for you, seriously, to work for you, Father God, that they would write a contract right now in their heart, Lord, with their free will, Lord, that they will serve you, Lord, every day of their life, regardless of what anyone else says, regardless of what's coming, good news or bad news or storms, regardless of everything, because you are the God of the impossible. That the mission, Lord, right now, but realigned, that train tracks are being realigned. I see a line changing, and God is rerouting some of you on that narrow track on your journey. So I pray that train, that journey that's powered by the Holy Spirit, that they would be in that place, or Lord Jesus Christ, that train that may be empty, Lord, I pray that their life will end up, that that train may be full of people that you have code labeled with them to save on that train. I pray there be 200 of 200 more, Lord, that they may see the faces and the lives of transformation and change, Lord, just one step at a time, one station at a time, as they stop and they pick up passengers for you, that they may have a long, a prosperous, holy life. I pray for a hedge of protection over all the brothers and sisters here today. The protection you put over me, may you put it over them, maybe around them. I pray for protection of the little beautiful children that you guide, protect, fervently watch over them, the mothers and the fathers. Will you help them discover who they are? Will you help them walk in the true calling you have for every brother and sister here today? And we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that they will see these marvelous things of God, that they will see these things that will inspire them, that they will have these beautiful things in their heart and their mind and their soul. And I pray you surround them with God's people. I pray also that you remove any wickedness around the church, Father God, whether it's people or poison. Oh Lord, may you start to remove these things, oh Father God. May you, Lord Jesus Christ, remove all, help them to remove any pride they have in their hearts. That even applies to me. Remove all pride. Let us all walk, live and love in the humility where there is power, where there is love, where there is patience, where there is breakthrough. I pray that this may come upon them right now. I pray it may follow them, and may the presence of God be upon them right now. Continue to follow, to help, to heal, to deliver. May they have dreams. May they be inspired, oh God, in this place. Because we are the church. We are the kingdom of God. We are the citizens of God. And you are children of God. And I pray that just for every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, through Christ Jesus, be with you and in you. Forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah, church. So praise the living God.